This here's Joe on a step
back. Nice move, Joe Ingles.
Beautiful.
Oh, he got Beal, Bowler.
16 for Joe.
Oh, did he just do that?
Going right now. 4-3, 16 points, and a step back beauty.
Nice pass, Curry. The throw down by Bogut. And he's a little shaken up, perhaps. Pirtle with the foul.
Good pass by Curry. Good finish by.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is Tuesday, March 19. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around green. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. So, big NBA day today. We had Dirk Nowitzki passing Wilt Chamberlain for sixth all-time in NBA scoring, but not in chicks nailed. Isaiah Thomas finally got his tribute video in Boston. Didn't get a new hip, though. And big Andy Bogut, friend of the podcast. He's back in the NBA and starting. Wild stuff. So that's all covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spot of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. There's Yeah Nah, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's our back takeout, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've also got a new Where in the World Is, where we check in on one of the Aussies playing overseas in Europe. And we've got a new hairy, sweaty guy of the week. Noice. Plus a look at all the odds and a pick and a preview for all the games tomorrow. And we close out with a new Jingles HR as Joe Ingles swings by to take one of your NBA workplace questions. Unreal. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Straya episode 248. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow. And you better, watch out for the attack of the big Andrew Bogut moving screen. How good was that? In his first play back in the NBA, Bogut got called for an anti-Australian biased moving screen call. Love a good Bogut cement truck screen. Laying more wood than the work experience kid in the timber yard at Bunnings, mate. Unreal. But yeah, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with a daily whip around. And yes, Andrew Bogut, friend of the podcast, is back. He started his first game back in the NBA today for the Warriors against the Spurs with DeMarcus Boogie Cousins out with a sore bung foot. The MRI, though, came up clean, so hopefully he'll be back. But at the same time, take your time, DeMarcus. Don't want to risk any more injuries to that old Achilles. Let Boogie shoulder the load for a little bit. That was pretty fun. Some other news, the Milwaukee Bucks will sign guard Tim Frazier. Oh, little Timmy Frazier. While waving Christian Wood following the Malcolm Brogdon foot injury. So, they needed another point guard. And considering they traded away the best point guard in the NBA, Matty Dellavedova, earlier in the year, they're shit out of luck. And they're stuck with Tim fucking Frazier. It's a bit shit. Some other rumors, Peter Vexey, that flog, he reckons the Lakers are keen on tapping Doc Rivers for their coach when they inevitably fire Luke Walton this offseason. Interestingly enough, though, Doc is under contract till 2021. So one would imagine it might take a little bit to pry him away from the Clippers, especially after the Lakers have been trying to block Steve Ballmer's Clipper Arena. Yes, good luck there, Genie and the Lakers co. That would be pretty funny. Ballmer would be like, oh yeah, so what do you call me? Balls? How hard are you trying to stop me from building an arena in Inglewood? Is it a lot? How about you go fuck yourselves? There we go. Bang. And finally, as mentioned at the top, Dirk Nowitzki went into today's game against the Pelicans. The Pelicans needing 4 points to pass Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain on the all-time NBA scoring list. And did it very quickly, actually. Did it in the first 5 minutes. Swish bombed his first two shots. Absolutely crushed it. Finished with 8 points. He now has a career total of 31,424 points. Wilt the Stilt had 31,419. That is unbloody real. On you, Dirk. Her Duncan Schnitzel. The crossover Kaiser. Love it. That is awesome. Yeah, because obviously he was passed earlier this year by LeBron James. And then LeBron passed Wilt as well. And MJ. So, yeah. Dirk back up into sixth. Got to feel good about that. Some injury news. Kyle Lowry hurt his ankle today. Looked brutal, but apparently he's okay. He's walking around. Told Woj that he's all right. But he's going to get some scans. Kevin Durant was back today as well. 100%. Looked all right. Kevin Love was out today with back pain and still no Matty Dellavedova. Cavs realize they can't play him because they'll win too many games. The tank is in. That's how it goes. All right, let's get into some wraps, shall we? There's a lot of games today. We had 9 games. That's right. The Pistons shit the bed against the Cavs. That's going to be the first one. The Cavs win 126-119, even without Kevin Love. And the Pistons were so confident they rested Blake Griffin. So big Kung Fu Thon McCur, Thon Song. He got the start. And the Cavs won. That was pretty great. Sexman, Colin Sexton, and Chetty Osman absolutely smashed it and buried the Pistons in the last minute and a half. Out of nowhere, it was some clutch basketball. This was great. For the Pistons, Andre Drummond, he had 21 points on 9 of 20 shooting. Jeez. But 21 points and 21 rebounds.
Yeah, it's pretty bloody good, bro.
5 assists as well. Wayno Ellington had 25 points, went 7 of 13 from 3. And Reggie Jackson had 15 points and 4 assists, while Ish Smith and Langston Galloway had 13s each. But not enough. They couldn't keep up with the bloody Cavs. Can you believe that? The Sex Man, he had 27 points. He was unreal. Continuing his absolute barn-burning tour the last couple of weeks. 27 points, 10 of 16 shooting, 5 of 6 from 3. Jesus. Chetty Osman, he had 21 and 6. He was awesome. Brandon Knight even actually had some assists today.
Who'd have thunk it for a point guard, bro?
16 points, 5 assists. David Nwaba had 13. Sauce Castillo had 17 points. Mini JR Jordan Clarkson chucked in 14. And even Marquise Chris. Serge Ibaka's best mate had a double-double, 10 and 10. Unbelievable. So Detroit, this is a brutal loss for them. Brings them a hint closer to basically the morass in 6-7-8. Because there's now only 2 games separating the Pistons from the Heat in 8. There's only a game between the Pistons and the Nets and only a game between the Nets and the Heat. It's unreal. Detroit, what are you doing? You lost to Cleveland. Can you believe that, Stephen A. Smith? Who'd they lose to?
Cleveland.
That's right, Cleveland. Unbelievable. Cleveland, for their part, moved to 18-53, but along with the Suns and the Knicks, they are basically in an unassailable position. Apart from maybe the Bulls, they're 20-52, but the Bulls also won today as well, so getting the same odds for the top of the lottery. So, yeah, good on them. Way to win, Cavs. Do it for pride. Speaking of pride, the Wiz have none, and the Jazz shit-pumped them 116-95 in Washington, and jingling Joe Ingles put Brad Beal in a fucking blender. Well, the old Adelaide blender, the old Happy Valley blender, they call it. Gave him the old step bank ankle breaker. Unreal. And the Wiz, I mean, just look, just a shit show today. Jabari Parker, he had 19.7 rebounds and 5 turnovers. Brad Beal, after he's run a 40-point game, threw in 15. Yeesh. 4 of 12 shooting. I mean, Sato had 8-6. Trevor Ariza's veteran presence had 12 points. And fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world, had like 11-5. All right, sure. For the Jazz, Donovan fucking Mitchell had 19 points, 8 of 19 shooting.
Kobe!
Jingles had a massive game. We'll talk about that later, but 16-3-4 was unreal. Rudy Gobert's the Stafford Tower, 14-4 with 2 blocks. Sorry, 14-14 with 2 blocks. Jesus. I'll learn to read someday.
Maybe not today, though, bro.
Ricky Tiki-Tata, Ricky Rubio had 8 points, 10 assists. Jay Crowder had 18, and Korver hit 3 threes for his 10 points. And everyone's still recycling the fun one, how the Nets traded away Kyle Korver for a bunch of money and spent that money on a photocopier instead of having one of the best shooters of all time. Love it. Washington, they dropped a 30-41, while the Jazz needed that one desperately because pretty much there's like 1.5 games essentially between, like, well, actually up until the Blazers won today, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But now 5, 6, 7, 8. 5, 6, 7, 8. There's just nothing. There's like one game. It's absolutely wild. So the Jazz get that win, 41-29. They're currently seventh in the West. The Nuggets went into Boston, kid. Dude, did you see the Nuggets? Dude, that was fucking sick, kid. Nuggets won 114-105 on the road. We called this one yesterday, just saying. The Celtics, Kyrie Irving, 30 points, pretty bloody good. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. Only 2 of 8 from 3, though. Average Al Horford at 26-6. That's 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. Mook Morris, fast out. He had 13. Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes, had went 3 of 12 for his 8 points. 1 of 5 from 3. Terry Rozier went 1 of 6 from 3 as well. Oh, geez. And Jaylen Brown, 2 of 6 for his 6 points. Yep. It was the other guys for the Celtics without Gordon Hayward and without fucking their other rookie. They were, I don't know, they just didn't look quite on it. But it was a fun game at least. Like, kept going back and forth, but Denver just sort of gave them the old clamps in the second half. For the Nuggets, the Nikola Jokic, hello, the Joker had 21 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, and absolutely smoked them. Will the Thrill Barton had 20 points and a kung fu kick. Paul Thrillsap had an amazing 4-point play. He had 12 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. Jam and Jamal Murray had 11 points on 11 shots. The Dartsman, Gary Harris, though, chucked in 16, went 4 of 7 from deep. Monty Morris and Torrey Craig off the bench, they had 11 and 13 respectively, while Isaiah Thomas finally got his tribute video, played 7 minutes, actually got in for the first time in 5 games, and chucked in 0 points. Yeah, it was a rough one for Isaiah. I'm not going to say he was choked up with emotion, because he might actually just be not very good at basketball anymore. But by the same token, that was a rough one, I'll tell you. Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. It was a bit of a rough one. Anyway, so, look, what can you do? I mean, he's played a couple of minutes here and there, like, of late, but Jesus. Just a really rough go of it for little IT. But anyway, so he got his tribute video, scored 0 points, had 2 assists at least, but whatever. Anyway, Boston lose 43-28 they are now. That's a rough one for them too, because they're still stuck in fifth. They just can't get over the Pacers. Still a game back from the Pacers. And the Denver Nuggets clinched their first playoff spot since 2013. They're 47-22 and all tied up with the Warriors on the top of the West. Unreal. The Raptors, they won at home against the New York Knickerbockers of New York City, 128-92. That is a shit pumping and a half. Absolutely bloody crushed it, didn't they? Alonzo Trier had 22 for the Knicks. Super Mario Hezonja. He had 8 points and 5 rebounds. he's the hero that the Knicks deserve, isn't he? Kevo Knox had 12 points. He was a minus 18. He shot 4 of 14. Oh, jeez. Damian Dotson had 11. And Mitch Robinson fouled out in 14 minutes and had 3 blocks. That was wild. The Raptors, Siakam had 19 points. Linsanity against his old team. He had 20 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists for the Raps. Gasol, Mark Gasol, the coach killer, had 12 and 11. The OG, Ananobi, had 14. Big booty car, Larry, had 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists before going out with that aforementioned ankle injury. But hopefully he's all right. But look, it's weird. The Raptors are just not going to be healthy like the entire season, which is weird, without like a crazy major injury. So hopefully he comes back and, you know, they go into the playoffs healthy. Fred VanVleet, the fighting VanVleet, he had 13 points and 12 assists, and Danny, not the Boxer Green, had 13. Nice one, Knicks. They are 14-57. They are the worst franchise in the NBA at the moment, and Toronto are 50-21, which I believe that marks their fourth straight year of over 50 wins. Unreal. The Thunder lost at home to the Heat in a 2012 NBA Finals rematch, 107-116. Ooh-wee. This is a big win for the Heat. It was a seesawing affair as well. Ran away with it late. The Thunder without Rusty Westbrook, thanks to that suspension he got in that horrible game against the Warriors on Sunday. They shot 43%. They had 19 turnovers. Just looked a bit off. Paul George had 31 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks, and 9 of 18 shooting. He was pretty good. So was Jerry and Grant. He had 27-10. Steven Adams Brew. He had 10-12. Dennis Schroeder. I'm German. Krunder. Filling in for Rusty Westbrook, had 20 points, 6 assists. Unfortunately, though, with him not on the bench fucking sacked. 10 points total with Markieff Morris and Abdul Nader with 10. So they combined for 10 points. So two Pats, Fatty Ray Felton, Hamidou Diallo, and Deonta Burton all had zeros. Jesus. So for the Heat, D-Wade had 25 points, 10 of 17 from the field. Goran the Flog Dragic, he had 26 points and 11 assists, both off the bench. Their bench went absolutely fucking bananas for the Heat. James Bloodsport Johnson, he had 14 as well. Richo had another shocker. Josh Richardson, 3 of 14 for 9 points. While Kelly Hauser, Olynyk, look at my crazy beard, man. 18 points and 9 rebounds for him. And bam, Adebayo, 8, 7, and 4. Miami, though, get the win. Only one game back of the Nets now in 8th in the East. While the OKC Thunder, 42 and 29, slip all the way down to 6th. They were 3rd, like, 3 days ago. Wow. The Spurs hosted the Warriors today and beat them 111-105. This was a fun as hell game. As mentioned, Andrew Bogut was back and he got the start. Golden State started very slowly as well. Bogut was like basically their focus point for their offense because it was an 0-11 start for Clay and Steph, which was pretty nuts. But at least, you know, they sort of got it going at the end of the first, and Clay, you know, was looking all right. Steph then suddenly hits this massive 61-foot bomb, the longest field goal for the season, just to end the quarter, which was unreal. He ends up with 25 points, goes 6 of 18 from 3. That's not great. 9 of 25 for overall. Kobe. Kevin Durant, his return, he had 24. Clay had a rough one, though. 14 points and 5 of 18 shooting. Draymond, look, 10-3-7, sure. Andy Bogut, 7-7 with 1 assist and a steal. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. But the Warriors just really couldn't get it clicking. And the Spurs just had answers. Like, DeMar DeRozan was awesome on Clay down the stretch defensively. That was awesome. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists for him. LaMarcus Aldridge had 23-13. Rudy Gay, 17 points, 6 rebounds. And Derek White, he had 13. Bellinelli threw in 9. And Patty Thrills had 10-2. So there you go. Golden State, they lose. They're 47-22, tied up with Denver first in the West. And San Antonio have won 9 straight. They're 42-29. All the way up to 5th in the West. That is absolutely bananas. Considering it wasn't too long ago, we're like, oh, geez, can the Spurs possibly not even, like, make the playoffs? Holy crap. Nice one. Anyway, moving on, the Pelicans went into Dallas and beat the Mavs in overtime, 129-125. This was hilarious. Tim Hardaway Jr. threw this game away. But we at least got to see Dirk pass Wilt for 6th all-time in the NBA scoring. That was awesome. The Mavs, they went 9 of 35 from 3. It's not a great one. Dirk ended up with 8 points. As mentioned, he went 3 of 6 from the field. Luka Doncic had another triple-double. He was awesome. We'll talk about him later, but 29, 13, and 10. Jesus, unreal. Hardaway, the Lester, had 21, and Jalen Brunson had 14. It was not enough to beat the Pels, though, after Hardaway threw away the game at the very end of regulation. That was wild. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Julius Randle had 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. Anthony Davis, in his usual 21 minutes, had 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. And Alfred Payton had another triple-double. That's 5 straight, mate. He had 19, 10, and 11. That is unreal. Frank Freddie Jackson, he had 19, and Ian Clark and Darius Miller chucked in 10s as well. The Mavs, 28 and 42 now, and slipping ever further down the standings, which is perfect. You know, just remember, their draft pick falls 1 through 5. They get to keep it. And they currently have is that equal 6th? Oh, well, I guess that's equal 5th then, because there's the Suns, the Knicks, and the Cavs, and then the Bulls, and then the Hawks. That's 5. And then they're tied up with the Mavs. The Grizz and the Mavs are tied up on 28 and 42. So yeah, it's a bit of a rough one, bro. They're tied up for 6th. Got to jump into that top 4 to keep that pick. All right, Bulls. Speaking of shit teams, the Bulls and the Suns went at it, and no one paid attention. Bulls win 116-101. Suns, Devo Booker had 25 points on 9 of 24. Kobe shooting 1 of 8 from 3 as well. He did have 8 rebounds and 7 assists, though. DeAndre Ayton was fucking unreal, though. 25-12-3-3-3. Jesus, shot 70% as well. Michael Bridges had 12. Josh Pacey Jackson had 18 points and 7 rebounds. For the Bulls, they shot 51%. It was Robin Lopez in another give that man's a new contract game. 24 points and 7 rebounds. Yeah, I'm just playing for my NBA life, mate. Give me some money. Zachy Cakes Levine had 17. Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, also had 17. And the bench threw in 38 points for the Bulls, and they get another win. So there you go. Phoenix, they dropped to 17-55, the second worst team in the NBA. The Bulls, fourth worst, 20-52. And then finally, the Pacers lost in Portland to the Blazers, 106-98. It'd be weird if they lost to someone other than the Blazers in Portland. Like if they lost to the Kings in Portland, that'd be very strange. Anyway, wildly fun game. This is back and forth. The Blazers went 0 of 10 from outside into the last 2 minutes of the first half. And then they chucked in a couple, which was pretty good. But this was fun as hell. The Pacers, Miles Turner was the only one doing fucking anything for the Pacers for most of the game. 28 points, 10 rebounds. He was unreal. Bojan Bogdanović had 15 points as well. Wes Matthews chucked in 14. Dougie McBuckets had 14. And our man PDX Pete was sitting behind the Pacers bench giving shit to TJ Leaf. So and Kylo Quinn, apparently, which is pretty good. On your PDX Pete. Proud of you. I mean, if you're going to give anyone shit, give TJ Leaf shit. That's funny as hell. Tyreke Evans also had 9 points and showed like a couple of signs of life, which was pretty neat. For the Blazers, they shot 40% from 3, 13-32. Nice one. But it was all Dame Lillard. 30 points, 15 assists. Shot 9 of 16 for the game. He was unreal. Yusuf Nurkic, hello, Bulls new beer. 18 points, 11 rebounds. He was awesome. Amino had 16 and 3. And Seth the Shit One Curry and Rodney Spud Hood had 11s. Jake Layman was a layman today. He had 0 points, shooting 0 of 5. But anyway, Blazers, big win with the Thunder losing. They are 43-27, and the Indiana Pacers are 44-27 in fourth in the East. One game ahead of the Boston Celtics. All right, nice one. Let's get stuck into the NBA Australia approved performance of the night, shall we?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Joe Ingles. Oh, Brad Beal. How are your ankles, mate? Fucking hell. He's always running afoul of Australians, isn't he, old Brad Beal? The jingles, though. 16 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 6 of 13 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. And absolutely torched Brad Beal. Sunned him hardcore. Look, you go up against the GOAT Brad Beal and this is what you get. It's what you get when you mess with the wall. But also, look, Jingles is pretty bloody good. But the Celtics giving IT that video tribute and the Celtics fans, look, I kind of want to give them the approved performance of the night because that was awesome. IT means so much to Boston. It was awesome being around that when it was going on. I mean, we got to see him play a bunch of times in New York and it was unreal. And look, love me some IT. That was really touching. It's also just like a bit of a showcase as to how far he's fallen. 7 minutes, 0 of 2 is a rough one. So yeah, good job Celtics. Good job Celtics fans. Good job Isaiah Thomas. And it'd be nice to get him back there, but I mean, come on. Bit of a rough one. But also, but let's give the approved performance of the night to Dame Lillard. First ever 30-point 15-assist game of his career, and he was absolutely amazing in this game. Like, legitimately, there were times where he's like, ah, wait, so I guess we should win this, shouldn't we? And just went off. He shot 4 of 9 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, 9 of 16 overall, 15 assists, 3 steals, he had a block. He was a plus 17 for a game, and he was absolutely unstoppable. Also, big shouts to Mo Harkless for karate kicking away the ball thrown at the rim. That was awesome. And Zach Collins was also good. That was a really fun game. Pacers, Blazers. Who knew? All right. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no
mates. Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, it's not Isaiah Thomas today, is it? It was yesterday, but today he's got lots of mates. Because everyone in Boston's like, oh, how good was Isaiah Thomas? I love that guy. He was a top 5 MVP candidate 2 years ago, and now he can't get on the fucking court. But anyway, old mate, no mates is actually going to be Alfred Payton, because what the fuck did he do to you people? He's had 5 straight triple-doubles. We mentioned him yesterday that he's fucking unreal. Turns out, whips out another triple-double for his fifth straight, joining a list that includes only Russell Westbrook, Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, and Michael Jordan. They're the only people with 5 straight triple-doubles. Unbelievable. And this might be the biggest argument as to why New Orleans should move to Seattle, because no one gives a fuck that he did it, and no one cares that Anthony Davis is only playing fucking 21 minutes a game, and everyone's like, that's fine, whatever. It's like, what? Are you kidding? If he was only playing 21 minutes a game on the Lakers, everyone would be losing their fucking minds. If Rondo was out there throwing down like fucking five straight goddamn triple doubles for the goddamn Lakers, everyone would be like falling over themselves to make him a fucking all-star, all-NBA player. Instead, New Orleans, they're just like, oh, I'm still pretty upset about that in the NFC Championship game when there was like the ref like with that hit and we didn't get that call and we could have made the Super Bowl. Yeah, rough one. Oh, mate, no, mate, it's Alfred Payton. Come on, man. Let's fix this and just move them to Seattle. Spud of the night. Spud of the night goes to Tim Hardaway Jr. Tim Hardaway the Lesser. This was an absolute spudding up by Tim Hardaway the Lesser. He threw the ball, like basically the Pels were like, oh shit, we're down like five. There's like no time left. Fuck it. They launch a three. It goes in. And then there's like a couple of seconds left. And old mate Tim Hardaway, the Lesser, is like, oh, better inbound the ball. Chucks it basically straight to the Pelicans. They get it back in. Julius Randle running down the middle of the lane. Dunks. Tied game. Overtime. Here we go. Tim Hardaway, the Lesser. You just cost yourself and your team a win. But at the same time, to be honest, you can't be quite. That's why he's not old mate, no mates. He's just spud of the night because it was a massive spudding up. But it was a great loss for the Mavs, all right. You know, kept them underneath the Pels, kept them on, you know, track with the Grizzlies there for the worst record in the league. So good stuff. Six worst. Got to keep it up, Mavs. That's the way to go. Panting of the night. This is obviously Brad Beal. You got jingled, you freaking moron. Congratulations. You got jingled. Jingles put you in a blender and sent you all the way back to the District of Columbia. That was absolutely wild, Brad. You got got. This is what happens when you mess with the Down Under Durant. You get got. but man, how's poor Brad Beal? Just can't take a fucking joke from any Australian. He's getting clotheslined by Dally. Jingles is jingling him. I love it. All right, who was better than Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, as long as I'm injured and not going to play the rest of the season. That's right, it's better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. How about the sex man, Colin Sexton, once more? 27 points on 10 of 16 shooting, 5 of 6 from deep. He is averaging 26.5 points, 3.5 assists, 2.5 rebounds in his last six games, shooting over 50% from, well, actually now it's up to like 58% from three and about 60% from the field. He is absolutely smashing it. Great job, Colin Sexton. Loving it. DeAndre Ayton, though, today as well, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. He was absolutely unstoppable. Until the Bulls kicked the shit out of the Suns. And Luka Doncic had his fifth triple-double for his rookie season with that 29-14-11 game against the Pelicans. Unreal stuff. All of you are better than Trae Young and Lonzo Ball today, if only because Trae didn't play. But anyway, Lonzo, you suck. I don't know. What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith?
The Lakers stink!
Yeah, just saying. All right, we'll be back in a second with right after, let's say, this one. G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya. Alright, we are back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines to decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, would the Celtics have won a title if they never traded Isaiah Thomas? No fucking way. Isaiah Thomas was asked if he thinks about what could have happened if he was never traded, and he said, well, yeah, we would have won a championship already. Isaiah, I know that you're overcome with the emotion of the moment, sir, but at the same time, you're talking out your fucking ass. Who are you beating? The LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love Cavs? And then beating the Warriors? Considering you've not been able to play fucking basketball over the last 2 years, I can't quite see that happening there, pal. Jesus. Rewriting history. Just cool it. Just cool it for a second. Speaking of which, number two, did the Celtics do Isaiah Thomas dirty? Yeah, nah. Yes. Yes, they did. Dude fucked up his hip. His sister died and he played through all. He fucked up his teeth. Do you remember that? He's got a fucked hip. He's fucked his teeth. His sister died and he kept playing through it all like an absolute fucking trooper. And then the Celtics went and traded him. Absolutely brutal. So, yes, they did him dirty, but it worked out fucking pretty great for Boston. They got Kyrie Irving out of it. And Isaiah Thomas is not good anymore. Speaking of which, number three is Isaiah Thomas's drop-off, one of the most heart-breaking things of the last 10 years in the NBA. I mean, yeah, nah, yes. It was such a good story. He was so much fucking fun. It absolutely stinks that he's not very good at the moment. But yeah, we'll talk about this in a second, but yeah. Still pains me in my heart. Keep on moving. Should Giannis Americanize himself more to appeal to more people, apparently? Yeah, nah. So he asked, should I have a little bit more American swag? Should I come up with a suit to the game? Should I be more Americanized? But man, if I can't be the face of the league being me, I don't want to be the face of the league. Fucking oath, Giannis. You don't have to Americanize yourself, mate. Everyone loves you. You're fucking awesome. Be yourself. Fucking dress up like Flavor Flav. Who gives a shit? Dress up in like a fucking Adidas tracksuit rolling in. I don't care. I think you're awesome and everyone else does too. Final, was Pau Gasol the problem in San Antonio? He might have been. I mean, they've gone 9-0 since they fucked him off and they've beaten Golden State in that time and a couple of other really good teams. They beat the Blazers. They beat the Bucks. Jeez, they beat the Nuggets. They beat the Thunder. Pau Gasol on the DL. All those Gasols might actually be shithead coach killers. Just saying. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day, however.
Now look at me.
Look, I may have just talked a bunch of shit about him, but I still think Isaiah Thomas can come back and be fun and be effective. He just needs to be all the way 100% healthy and not trying to do too much and sort of ease his way back into it. Similar to how when he rolled into Boston, he was coming off the bench. They realized how good he could be and he found his role and then he excelled. But that was a fucking long process. It took a bunch of years. Now he's coming back from a major injury and his game isn't really that fucking, two-way. So look, ideally he'd be great in Denver where it's like, oh shit, we just need a gunner to come in and like fucking load up. But man, he just looks rusty. He just looks slow. He just looks out of it. So it's one of those things where you like you hope for the best for next year and that he ends up in a good situation. And then he fills it up and everyone is like back to loving Isaiah Thomas again. Is it in Denver? Maybe. If he goes back to Boston, I can't see that fucking working because of all the expectation and the way he sort of acts in specific locker rooms. The fact that it didn't work very well in the Cavs and Lakers last year, he was hurt. We get it. The fact that he's taken ages to come back for the Nuggets this year is very good. The fact that he's not very good at basketball, however, is a big problem. So hopefully he gets back. All right, and finally, Outback Takeouse. It's Tuesday at Outback. And you know what that means? 4-for-1 Bloomin' Onions. That's right. No prick in Australia knows what the fuck these things are. So we're going to loan them off to you Yanks and just go, right, we're going to charge you a shit ton of money for a fucking onion. It's deep fried. Get it into ya. Only at Outback. And it goes great with a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, I might rather have Dame Lillard on my team going into the playoffs this year than Steph Curry. And maybe even DeMar DeRozan on the Spurs rather than Kawhi. I think you might be better off with Dame and DeMar than Steph and Kawhi. Only at Outback. That is a fucking flame grill take. Dame is unreal. Steph, though, just, I don't know. Dame has, like, underratedly been absolutely fucking unstoppable this year. And Steph, look, he's been sort of up and down, I'm just saying, you know. Dame, absolutely shredding it. Just think about it. 26 points a game, 6.5 assists, 23.9 PER. He's absolutely crushing it. Yeah, it's not bad. Steph, for his part, you know, he's still going very well. Just saying. Anyway, look, that's a good one, DeMar.
better than Kawhi? Maybe. At least he's playing fucking back-to-backs. His defense has been really good on the Spurs too. Anyway. Right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch. And a couple of other things. What have we got? We've got the sweaty hairy guy and where in the world is right after this one.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce. Did not play today. They have a game tomorrow in Charlotte. But we did have Jingling Joe Ingles, obviously, as mentioned, go up against Washington, and he smashed it. 16 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. 6 of 13 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. Unreal. Dante Exum still out for the year, well, for the foreseeable future. Yeah, it's a tough one. King Deli of Maribara, smusher of tins, first of his name. Matty Dellavedova still out with a concussion, but he's back on the active roster today as Deng and Dell went back down to the G League for the Canton Charge. Good job, Deli. I mean, just sitting there, probably helping everybody out and going, all right, dickheads, what are y'all doing? Oh, yeah, cool. Nice one. All right, what do you reckon over here? Nice. Good stuff. Good stuff. So Deng and Dell did not play in that game either. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills in the win over Golden State. He had 10 points, 3 of 7 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Thonsong, Kung Fu Thon, Thon got the start today in place of Blake Griffin for the Pistons against the Cavs, and then they lost. 7 points ended up being scored by Thon, 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. He did, however, have 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and was pretty bloody good. Fumbled one turnover that I didn't really like, but anyway. Aaron Bangers Baines in the loss to Denver today. 18 minutes, 5 points, 2 of 5 from the field, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff got out there today as well for the Mavs against the Pelicans. Played a total of 1 minute, unfortunately, and did not bother the scorers beyond being on the court for that 1 minute. Tough one, but oh well. On you, Rowdy. Way to get out there, mate. Good stuff, good stuff. And Andrew Bogut, finally, we get to add him back to the Australian Player Watch. As mentioned, got the start with Boogie out. He played 19 minutes. Did the NBL's reigning MVP. 7 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal, and about 870 giant cement truck screens, including a couple of illegal ones. But he was awesome. Welcome back, Andrew Bogut. It is awesome to see him back playing for the Warriors. All right, we always play love, a bit of where in the world is here at NBA Australia. It's a Tuesday, so let's do it. Xavier Cooks, where is he at the moment? Oh, that's right, S. Olivia Woodsburg. And he played a pretty good game against Afador Saratov in the European Cup round of 16. He had a great game, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. And then went back to the Bundesliga, and they took care of Mitchell Dutcher, 84-77. Cooks had 19 points on 8 of 13 shooting. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. That's bloody great, mate. And there was another game, I believe. Let's have a look. Yesterday or something, wasn't there? Yeah. Olivia Würzburg, they beat Fraport Skyliners. And he had another good one. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He's absolutely fucking smashing it over there. So good job. So for this season, he's averaging a pretty handy 11.2 points, 5.4 rebounds, and 2 assists while shooting 57.8% from the field and 45.7% from 3. Xavier Cooks, you dead set legend. Absolutely crushing it over there in Germany. 23-year-old, don't forget, he's, you know, the 6'8 swingman. Hopefully he gets out there and absolutely keeps crushing it. But good stuff, Xavier Cooks. There you go. That is where in the world Xavier Cooks is. Germany. And finally, sweaty hair guy of the week. And this one is just going to go back to an old favorite. After today, seeing him back in action in the NBA, buddy Andy Bogut. Big fella was sweating in the warm-ups. And his hair and his beard are nice and raggy. He's got that old man, you know, Croatian Australian strength. Laying the wood. Absolutely crushing it. He just adds so much more swagger, I think, back to and danger to those Warriors, doesn't he? He's got that sweaty, hairy, glistening sort of look to him. You're like, Jesus Christ, I do not want to mess with that man mountain because, you know, he might just start swinging on me. So, yep, don't fuck with Andrew Bogut. But it is good to see him, like, you know, healthy. He's a little bit skinny. Obviously, he dropped a bunch of weight before the NBL season. because he was pretty substantially gigantic in his last few years in the NBA just to keep up with the bigger dudes. And yeah, it was good to see him out there though. He's obviously in shape, absolutely crushing it, and great job, Andy Bogut. All right, back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. Right, let's do it. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in slash inspiration board, and Patty Mills did tweet out a really, 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 really nice video that the Spurs tweeted out saying Brett Brown shares the first time he truly understood the connection between Manu Ginobili and the city of San Antonio. It's a really good video. Go watch it out. And Patty Mills just said, awesome. And I agree heartily that sentiment is a very, very, very nice video. Go check it out. All right, let's do it. Game previews for tomorrow, Wednesday. We've got, I believe it's 6 games. So let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's it all going with the little squid?
Yeah, he's all right, man. He's all right. He had a bit of a wake-up cry last night, but he's all good. It's all good. All right, let's do it. Let's look at the odds and make some picks and preview each game for tomorrow. We have the Sixers going to Charlotte. And wildly enough, the Hornets are favored at home. Well, no, they're 1 point. Sorry, 1 point underdogs, but that's very, very close considering the Sixers are substantially better than them. And I will be putting a bit of money on the Sixers minus one. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Like, do you really think the Hornets are going to slow them down? Jesus. Yeah, I'll take the Sixers minus one. Thank you very much. The Rockets visit Atlanta, and they are 7.5 point favorites on the road in Atlanta. That feels about right. Houston are really hitting their stride, obviously. The Hawks usually can keep up with teams, but Houston's defense over the last 10 games has been much improved, and their scoring rate has fucking skyrocketed. Their defense is, like, pretty bloody good, actually, the old Houston. So I feel like Atlanta might just tail off in this one, and Rockets win it pretty handily by about 10 or 12. So I'll take the Rockets minus 7.5. And yeah, feel good about that one. As long as Harden's neck is okay and he plays. Yeah. Then we have the Lakers visiting Milwaukee to play the Bucks. I heard it's Algonquin for the good land. Basically heading back to where they originated. Don't forget, a whole mess of the Lakers titles were in Minneapolis. Up towards, you know, well, it's Minneapolis. It's not Milwaukee, but anyway. Close. It's the land of the thousand fucking lakes. All right. They're on a lake. Milwaukee. It's right there. Anyway, Lakers are 12 point underdogs against the Bucks. And this seems like a very good game for Giannis Antetokounmpo to take off if he wants to. But minus 12, the Bucks seems a little bit much. They were a little bit scratchy against the Sixers the other day. So look, give me the Lakers plus 12. I think they might just sort of keep within spitting distance. Seems about right. I mean, they're probably going to get shit pumped, but why not just go minus 12? The Warriors visit the Wolves on a back-to-back. They are 5.5 point favorites against the Wolves. The Wolves are beset by injury, so I'll take the Warriors minus 5.5. And even on a back-to-back, the Warriors should be all right, just in case they, you know, don't rest somebody else, like KD on a back-to-back or Steph or Clay. But the Warriors still fighting for that number one seed, so you expect them to play everybody. The Nets play the Kings, and the Kings are 4 point favorites at home against the Nets. I'll take the Nets plus 4. I feel like they need to win one of these games on this road trip. It's either going to be the Kings or the Lakers, and I feel like they might just come out swinging against the Kings and get one out of nowhere. So give me the Nets. And finally, the Pacers play the Clippers. It's going to be a fun one. Clippers looking very, very good. Pacers getting beaten today by the Blazers. I will take the Clips minus 5. Thank you very much. And yeah, that'd be all she wrote, I reckon. A couple of good big games in there. Golden State, Minnesota should be really good. Brooklyn, Sacramento will be sneaky amazing. Even Philly, Charlotte's going to perk the old interest with Philly out there really sort of muscling around and like sitting in third, but they need to keep taking care of games like that to really put the nail in the coffin and stay in the third seed. That'll be really fun. And you know what? We'll wrap all those games up for you tomorrow. That is awesome. We're also going to reveal our very special guest for the 250th episode on Thursday. We're going to reveal that tomorrow, which will be amazing. I can't wait for that. So that'll be really good. All right. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Stereo on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that sort of stuff. We're all over the socials during the games. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Follow us on Spotify. Mash 5 stars. Chuck a review on there, would you? It really helps out. Tell a mate as well if they don't mind a bit of NBA talk. Point them in our direction. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out House Hats, their new band. They are releasing their debut album on March 29 and launching it April 12 at the Old Bar in Melbourne. I will be there for that. It'll be amazing. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, iOS, X Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, all that good stuff. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that is it for today. Stick around for a brand new Jingles HR as he takes a question from Anthony New Orleans. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later. All right, g'day you jingler jokers. It's Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia. Yep. Answering all your workplace-related NBA questions and, you know, when I'm not sinking threes or buying even more real estate in Paul George's head or breaking Brad Beal's ankles, I am the best HR professional you'll find out there because nobody knows HR like the Jingler. So let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Anthony in New Orleans. Dear Joe, I feel like I'm just going through the motions at my workplace. Do you have any tips on how to stay stimulated at work? Yours sincerely, Anthony, New Orleans. Oh, great. That's really interesting. Thanks for writing in, Anthony. This is a common request I hear with people working in places they're not particularly keen on, but with no way to move to a better company. And as a HR manager, I always say, work with what you've got. That means get to know your workmates. Who in the office has a pet? Who likes getting on the cans? Who has kids? What are their names? And I think once you open yourself up to more experiences in the workplace with your fellow employees, the better and more stimulating the workplace environment becomes. Another way is talking to your HR person and management and maybe asking for more stimulating or challenging work. Clearer communication and challenging KPIs can be one way of stimulating your workplace. Also, I suggest trying a new place for lunch every day. Rather than getting stuck in a rut, I've found it really helps to change things up. So as we say here at Jingles HR, there are no bad jobs, just bored employees. And we're here to make sure you don't get bored. Okay, look, I hope that helps you out, Anthony. There's a couple of good suggestions in there. All right, so best of luck, pal. That's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back with Jingles HR next week on NBA Australia. Until then, I've been Joe Ingles. Get back to work and get a dog up ya. Yeah.